Blog Talk Radio.
Got more bills than money. Now I can't find a job. Man. Got the child support I need to pay. Just came home. Nobody want to give me a chance.
What in the world?
What am I supposed to make?
Help.
And my relationship is need somebody to help.
Taught me, yeah. Now I'm standing on my two feet, yeah. And I'm walking.
fighting. So walk and not be weary. Run and not faint. Don't worry about the struggle. You got the victory. Look to them hills from which cometh your help, man. God got you.
To God be the glory. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am and we are rejoicing and we are excited about it. Hallelujah. As Reggie Brown would say, our good friend, it's a good day to be alive. Amen. We give God praise, our eternal God, and thank him for so much life, health, and strength on today. I'm just excited. Amen. You probably can hear it in my voice. I'm just excited about life, excited about what God wants to share tonight. Just excited about God. It's a wonderful thing to be excited about the Lord. Amen. There's so many things that get us going and get us enthusiastic, but it's nothing like the joy of the Lord. That is your strength.
Amen.
There's nothing that compares. I'm a big football fan. I'm a basketball fan. There's certain things that I like through television and music, but there's nothing like the joy that the Lord provides you and I. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm serious in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, because life is challenging. Life is really complicated for so many of us. But with God, we can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Evander Holyfield wore that thing on his lapel years ago when he fought Mike Tyson. Impossible odds. He was such an underdog, but he had it on his lapel. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. And I didn't even know what it meant back then. Then he made it clear as he beat Mike Tyson and then beat him again, then beat him again, because he believed the scripture. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
He believed the word of God. Against all odds, Mike Tyson was knocking everyone and everything out in the first round, the first 10 seconds. But Evander Holyfield believed the word of God, and that's what we need to do. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why the Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Don't do it for anybody else, but for you, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there's so many people, it says, we may get to that, but it says scripture is really no interpretation for one person. We got to interpret the scriptures, but the Spirit will illuminate the word of God in and through your life. Hallelujah. Go to Luke. We're going to dive right in. And I was in my word this morning, and I just opened the scripture, and it led me here. We're gonna dance around the scriptures a little bit tonight, like I always do, and we're going to cover some different topics. But it's the woman with the alabaster box found in Luke 7, verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. This is the woman with the alabaster box of oil. Ointment, and we're going to read Luke chapter 7, verse number 36, the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, the doctor, the physician Luke, 7:36. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He sat down to dinner. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. She knew that Jesus sat at the meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touch him, for she is a sinner. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to keep reading. But it's just amazing how that verse got me this morning, and it got me just as I read it then. If this woman was the sinner to the degree that it was so obvious, Jesus didn't have to be a prophet to see what kind of woman she was, to see that she was a sinner. Obviously, she was known around town. Obviously, it was written all over her face. Obviously, she was known in the city as a sinner. But the Pharisee was so narrow-minded. Yes, he was intelligent, had book knowledge, but he said if he was a prophet, he would know what manner of woman is this and who she is. Verse 40. I just had to get that out. That some people like to just pass judgment and like to label and define you, and don't have a clue how you think, why you think what you think, or what sometimes you withhold from saying. Verse 40 says, and Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have something what to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. Two people owed him money. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? One owed 50, the other owed 500. Jesus asks, which one would be more grateful to the debtor, the one that he forgave 500 or the one that he forgave 50? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see this woman? I entered the house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased from kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with the ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, help us God, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sit at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace. I'm so blessed by this story. I was at a stop today at work, and I used to deliver packages to this woman. I found out in the end that she was a judge, a judge out of the state of New York. Her name was Ellen Simon. And Ellen Simon had stage 4 cancer and began radiation and chemotherapy treatments, and it went from bad to worse, so much so that she, in the end, committed suicide. And when I went to the building today, I thought about how nice she was to me, always gave me, like, you know, just kind words, just a very beautiful person. It reminded me when God extended my life last year, when God gave me grace, when God did a lot for me personally. It reminded me that for some of us, he has done a lot. I mean, I don't like to compare or compete, but I just need to say, it doesn't always turn out the way it turned out for me. So I'm eternally grateful to God.
Yes.
This woman was a big-time sinner. He said she had many sins.
My God.
And the Bible says the reason she kissed his feet, the reason she cried so much, the reason she didn't say words. She didn't go there and ask for Jesus, forgive me. Her actions spoke louder than her words.
Yes.
She knew she was a big-time sinner. And many of us came to Jesus broken. We came to Jesus bruised. We came to Jesus clueless and sometimes just at the rock bottom. And he picked us up. He turned us around. He planted our feet on solid ground. He planted our feet on solid ground. And some people still wonder why we praise like we do, why we still go to church, why we attend Bible study, why we go to prayer, why we say God is good all the time God is good. People don't know why we do what we do, but I can tell you why. Some of us are so grateful.
Yeah.
Some of us are so thankful. Some of us are so appreciative of the goodness of God. And I'm just loving this story because they passed judgment on her. And he says, Simon, you're right. She has many sins and many things are forgiven. And there's some people that still take me for granted. There's some people that still think they got life under control and life in their own control. There are some people that disregard me every chance they get. They're oblivious to the obvious that I'm making everything happen. And I don't want that to be us tonight. I want us to be grateful. When we open our eyes in the morning, when we close our eyes at night, I want us to be so thankful, not just on Thanksgiving, not just when things go well. Pastor, you know, it's December.
Already, yes.
And Christmas is coming.
Yes.
And one of the things about Christmas, I grew up with a mother who gave us, it was eight of us. We had Christmas presents. We had clothes. We had train tracks and car sets and doll babies and easy bake ovens. We had good Christmases. I don't misinterpret me. But sometimes so many people go so deep in debt only to get sometimes a response from our children that is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Not really appreciating the sacrifice, not really understanding sometimes the degree to which we parents give, sometimes sacrificially. Sister Comrade in our church on Sunday, we as parents give good things to our children. Amen?
Amen.
And we evil. How much more would a God in heaven give us who's holy?
Yes.
So he's trying to say we as parents, because that child came out of our loins, that child came out of our womb, and we want to make our kids happy. We want to see smiles on their faces. I'm teaching our youngest daughter, Kayla, how to drive, and I'm thinking I'm getting more fulfillment out of it than she is. I'm loving to see her learn a new driving skill and the smile on her face and the sense of accomplishment. I'm getting reward out of it more than her. Because guess what? She appreciates Dad teaching her how to drive. She has a thanksgiving and a spirit of, I thank you for taking the time to show me how to do this.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus was saying about this woman. She came and she thanked me by producing her own water through tears, wiping my feet with her hair, and kissing my feet, knowing who I am. And she came in, maybe a prostitute, maybe a lady of the night, but she went out delivered. She went out set free. She went out a changed woman, recognizing that God gave her grace. God gave her grace. If you're still in the book of Luke, go to chapter 17. Go to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Because sometimes I listen to talk radio a lot, and a lot of the people are still on the radio. They're saying how people are still in disbelief that Donald Trump is our president. Some people are in denial, still pitching themselves, not thinking it's true. And the host I just listened to said, we might as well get over it. And it's a reality. He's going to be the president. Let's just pray. Let's just do what we need to do and get in position, because even some of his appointments, the middle class America, the farmers, the industrial workers, he made promises that already he's putting billionaires and millionaires and business people in position. And he's kind of showing his hand that, listen, he may help the middle class. I don't know. But right now, he's really appointing people like himself, who is a multimillionaire and billionaires, and people who are kind of against affordable housing and the things that matter to kind of middle-class America. But we got to wait and see what happens. But I'm keeping my eyes and my ears open. Luke 17, verse 1, Luke chapter 17, verse 1, because if you're a rational person, if you're a logical person, if you're a person of reason, you're analytical, you practice common sense, sometimes we're in an irrational world and things won't make sense to you. Jesus schools his disciples here, and it kind of doesn't make sense to them, but listen to what he says, Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible. It is impossible, but that offenses, no, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Watch verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Oh, glory be to God. It's almost comical. So somebody may do something to you in one day, curse you out, offend you, or lie to you, or lie about you, or do something disrespectful to you, and they come back and apologize. And you forgive them and say, okay, you know, I think that was wrong, but I forgive you for what you said. And they do something similar 4 or 5 or 6 more times that day. Jesus said, not just that one time forgive them, but if they keep offending you, keep disrespecting you, you have to keep forgiving them. The apostle said, increase our faith. I'm with them, because I for one, I don't like to be manipulated. I don't like to be used. I don't like to be exploited. I don't like to be disrespected. So God will have to help me with that one.
Amen.
God really, this is why we got to be in the spirit. Some of us, when we were in the world, we didn't take nothing off of nobody. Come on, y'all. We ain't been saved our whole lives. And God is saying, listen to what Jesus is saying in this area of forgiveness, because there are many people who've offended us. The ex have offended you. Your job sometimes, people in your job have offended you. People in the church sometimes will offend you and have offended you. In our own families, people have disrespected us and sometimes came against us. And God says, you must keep your heart pure. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart free from bitterness. So you must forgive. Let go and let God always. I'm one to say, and listen to what he says in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up from the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. My God. He says, not only for offenses, but for obstacles. When we, the Holy Ghost right there. He says, when offenses come, disrespect, dishonor, people coming against you, sometimes for no reason, he says, forgive them over and over and over again. You have to be in the spirit to live that scripture out. Then he says, there are times in our lives where obstacles, mountains, roadblocks, things will be in our path, things will be in our way. And he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, wow, help! Jesus said it don't take great faith, it don't take a lot of faith. I feel God. Because sometimes if the truth was to be told, no matter how hard we try to gird up faith, no matter how hard we try to get our faith to a certain level, whether it's against sickness, whether it's against disease, whether it's against fear, whether it's against doubt and being double-minded, there's always that inclination of doubt and second-guessing and waywardness coming in. Because we're human. We're human. We waver. But he says it don't take great faith. It takes me. Oh, glory be to God. That's what I was preaching on Sunday. What I can do, what you can do, he says my grace is sufficient. We put too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
We put too much weight on ourselves. We put too much responsibility on our own shoulders. And Jesus is saying faith. Through faith. By grace, I'll make it possible. Faith has been made available. Healing has been made available. Prosperity has been made available. Deliverance has been made available. The word says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We don't have to be bound by our sickness. We don't have to be bound by our past. We don't have to be bound by bills and trouble. I tell you, if we stay in the spirit, we stay free.
Yeah.
That's why the devil works so hard through natural circumstances. He came with sickness, not just against me, maybe for some of you. You got pain in your body. You got things going on with diagnosis, and you're taking prescription drugs, and things are not quite what they should be health-wise. But God said, I just needed to see this. Go to Matthew. I wasn't going to turn here, but go here anyway. Matthew, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Is that what I want? Matthew. Is it Matthew? Give me a minute to find this scripture, because I'm going to find this scripture and... Matthew 8. It is the will of God for us to be well. It is the will of God for us to be pain-free, disease-free. It is the will of God. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they allowed sickness and disease to come into the earth. Adam and Eve, before the fall, had no sickness. They were going to live a long, 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 long time. Meaning to eternity. But sin came in, and then death entered. Are you in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 1? It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, a terminal illness, and worshiped him, saying, Lord Jesus, if thou will, or if it's your will, that's the point I'm trying to get to, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Lord Jesus. He said to Jesus, if it's your will, I can be delivered from this condition.
Amen.
And we ought to get that in our head. We ought to get that in our minds. I knew it was not the will of God for me to leave this world prematurely. I knew from the scriptures when I was in the hospital, I heard about cancer, but I never thought it would come my way. But I heard and I knew from the word that he would satisfy me with long life.
Yes, yes.
So I knew through the scripture, through the logos, written word of God, it is the will of God for you and I to be in good health and to prosper even as our souls prosper.
Amen. Amen.
That's word. That's the word of God. I wish of all things that you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prosper. So it is the will of God for us to be well. And this leper who had a terminal illness asked Jesus first the question, if it's your will. Jesus responded by saying, yes, it's my will, and then touching him. And the Bible says immediately the disease was gone. My God. When we lay hands on our children, you see, when they got a fever and Tylenol is not working, and that fever is 102 and 103, and sometimes that fever won't break, we got to lay hands on our children and our grandchildren and pray the prayer of faith. I see, my God, my God, my God, my God. James. I'm flowing tonight. I got to flow tonight. God is telling me to vie and detour from my lesson. I had so many scriptures I want to go to, but he's leading me in a certain direction for some reason.
Amen.
I don't know why he's taking me this way. But James chapter number 5. Believe God for healing. Believe God for deliverance for you and your loved ones. We got to believe God for the manifestation of miracles. We got to believe God that he can make our lives debt-free. He can do what he wants to do.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll get there where we'll see debt cancellation in the name of Jesus, because that's our God. It says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But James chapter 5 is so beautiful here. James chapter number 5. Go to verse 13. James chapter 5, the end of James chapter number 5, verse number 13. Hear what the word says. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James is saying, if we're troubled in our spirit, if we're worried, if we're stressed out, if we have anxiety, if we have problems beyond us, he says, don't go to people to pray for you. Pray for yourself. Then he says, is any merry, let him sing songs and psalms. I love Sister Maria as she sings on our prayer line, and she has a merry spirit. It says, let that person sing. They got singing in their heart. There are some people, Pastor, they just have a countenance.
Yes, yes.
They just have a pleasant personality.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. That's not everyone. Some of us, we're just different in different ways. And some people just have a sweet personality. And it's a wonderful thing. He says, let them sing. Let them be merry. Then verse 14, he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. My God, my God. The prayer of faith. If you're taking notes, write that down. The prayer of faith or praying in faith. The prayer of faith or praying in faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I'm going to move on. I'm going to elaborate on those 14 and 15 a little bit, but I just saw 16, which says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. James is saying our prayers, that's you, that's Pastor Rebecca, that's me. He said, no, specifically, yes, people are praying. The Muslim is praying. The Buddhist is praying. The Methodist is praying. Sometimes the atheist is praying. But James said, the effectual prayers of the righteous.
Yeah.
Big difference. The righteous. We are the righteous, not because we're sin-free, not because we're perfect, not because we got it all together. We are the righteous because we believe in Jesus Christ. We are the righteous because we believe in Jesus Christ. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter. I tell you, I'm flowing tonight. But you're going to see why we're called the righteous. You're going to see why we're called the righteous. But let me elaborate before we move from this text. He says, bring them to the pastor, bring them to the elders of the church. They'll pray the prayer of faith. We anoint with oil. And it says the sick shall recover. That's Bible. There's so much symbolism. There's so many practices in the Word of God that are effective. Jesus laid hands on the sick. Jesus anointed.
Yes.
Jesus did what James is telling us to do. And James seen faith work for him. That's why he labeled it the prayer of faith or praying in faith. When we pray, we got to believe that what we're asking will happen. When we pray, we have to have an expectation that our prayers will work. When we pray, even though sometimes we don't see it right away, we don't feel it in our body right away, we don't see a change right away, we still got to respond positively saying, I'm waiting on the manifestation of my blessing.
Yes, yes.
I'm just waiting for my change to come.
My God.
I'm waiting. I'm going through the process. Time will be in my favor. But in the end, I will get what I'm believing God for. So James is saying when we pray and confess our faults one to another, it says we'll be healed. Confessing our faults one to another, that there are so many people, I just believe this, and maybe it's just me, but I just get the sense that some people feel condemned through their actions, through their behavior. Sometimes they don't feel so good about themselves through what they're doing. But the Bible says when we confess that thing, when we get it out of our mouths, that alone brings a certain degree of freedom. Confession of sin brings a certain degree of liberty. It's when we hold it in, when the shame and the guilt and the condemnation, that's when the accuser starts to accuse. That's when the devil really makes us feel low or bad about ourselves when we don't confess our faults. Don't just tell your business to the wrong person. That's not what he's saying. He's saying confess that thing maybe to a mentor, maybe to your prayer partner, maybe to your pastor. But come and clear the air. Get that thing out of your system. and make it right through confession. Confess your faults one to another that you may be cleansed. You may be healed. I'm going to go to 1 John in a minute, but we'll see that where he says, we'll go there. I don't want to elaborate until we get there. But go, if you have your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the scripture that we built our church on. This is the one that New Creation is founded on. This is the one that ministers to me and my wife even today, because we're those new creations.
Amen.
We had somebody tell us, y'all don't look like what y'all been through. And yeah, I hear what y'all saying, but you two don't look sometimes nothing like what y'all talk about. And I chuckle. My wife and I chuckle because if they only knew us back then, and I mean, you know, we weren't the scum of the earth. No, it wasn't to that degree, but we done some things that we weren't so proud of. And today, we thank God, we but by the grace of God.
Yes.
I'm about to run around this house. But by the grace of God, I am that I am. I am who I am. It's nothing. There's some things, yes, God will leave up to us to do. And that's why, you know, people with a bad cigarette habit, tobacco habit, maybe drug use, maybe alcohol use, maybe some other things that's a stronghold or a familiar spirit in your life, and you can't get this monkey off of your back, God sometimes will supernaturally remove that thing. Sometimes just the taste of nicotine will turn you so off. And you'll be like, what is that? I used to love cigarettes. Now I can't stand the taste of nicotine. God. Oh! God, he'll remove some things supernaturally. Then there are some things he says, no, I'm giving you to do. I've given you the discipline. I've given you the strength.
Yeah.
I've given you the knowledge to deal with that thing. And even with the temptation, he'll keep making a way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
When the devil put a thought in your mind, you know how drinking used to make you feel. You know how drugs used to do. You know how so-and-so used to make you feel. When the temptation comes, the Bible says he'll make a way of escape. He'll give you a way out that you don't have to do something you're going to regret or be ashamed about. He'll make a way out. And that's why he says in verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, people don't understand how this thing works. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. We can stop right there. New Creation Christian Ministries. We can stop right there. That when I became a Christian, I still was in the bars. I still was doing ungodly acts. I still was doing things to bring my name and my God name shame. But guess what? I was a new creation.
Amen.
I don't understand how this thing works. I'm not going to try to figure it out when he already worked it out. But eventually I evolved into that person that God said I was. I've been saved now 22 years. And he's still working on me. I don't know about you. How about you? I wish I had an amen right now on this Bible study line that I don't care what age you are. I don't care how many times you get things right. I don't care how far you've come. He's still working on all of us.
Amen.
We are a work in progress. Sometimes it's our temper. Sometimes it's our tongue. Sometimes it's our attitude. Sometimes it's us being impatient.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's us thinking we're perfect. Sometimes it's us just thinking sometimes we've arrived, but whatever it is, God is still saying, humble yourself. Submit yourself. Let me keep reading. Verse 18 says, we are past, I can't even read it here. It says, are passed away. Behold, things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. and all things are of God, this is what I'm going to get to, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God sent his son Jesus that we can get right back in the right relationship with God the Father. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is what I want to get to, verse 21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, that's me, that's my wife, that's my children, that's you on this Bible study line, that we might be made the righteousness, there it is, of God in him. It's not that we're perfect. It says if we're in Christ, we're righteous. If we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're righteous. Pastor Anthony, I can sin, I can fall, I can fail, I can mess up, and I'm still righteous? Absolutely. Absolutely. On Judgment Day, he's not going to see our filthiness. He's not going to see our mistakes and our faults. He's going to see his son Jesus. He's going to see the blood. He's going to see the ark, the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus being our atonement, being our substitute, being the one that stood in proxy for us to take on our sins. That's what God going to judge us according to that judgment day, that he's going to see Jesus and not us in our flawed condition.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory.
Yes.
Let's get into that a little deeper. Hebrews chapter number 8. Oh, I pray this is helping somebody tonight, because we got to know the scripture. I think that's why he's taking me this way, to just go through the scriptures and dance around the word of God, because sometimes we say things and we sometimes don't understand just the price that Christ paid for us. Just the new covenant. That's why we're the new covenant believers. We're called the New Testament church, the New Testament believers. But the Hebrew writer explains it so beautifully here. In Hebrews chapter number 8, listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter number 8, this is so beautiful. I want to read the whole thing, but for time's sake, I'm going to start at verse number 6. But now have attained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. He's talking about Jesus here, which was established upon better promises. The Old Testament had promises. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, had certain conditions. But as Jesus came on the scene, there's a new covenant, there's a new testament. Verse 7. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second covenant. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, that not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers and their forefathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in the covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. The writer is saying they could not keep the Ten Commandments. They could not keep the law. They could not live up to the covenant. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with them, the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man to his neighbor and every man to his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all, did he say all? I think he said all.
Amen.
For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. That's so powerful. We need church. We need Bible study. We need teachers. We need someone to exegete the scripture and explain through revelation what the word means. But the Hebrew writer, just like John, said it so clearly. You need no man to teach you. Oh, my God. Don't misinterpret the scripture. He's simply saying to you and I will reveal myself to you. I'll make myself known to you. Pastor Rebecca and I came up in a good church. Bishop Hilliard knew the word. He studied the word. He was saved since a teenager. He practiced what he preached. He explained the word. He taught the word. But even as he did that, as I went home and got by myself to myself, God kept speaking. Glory be to God.
Mm.
God kept ministering to me.
Yes, yes.
God kept talking to me and revealing himself to me. Just like you, in your quiet time, in your private time, in your quiet moment, God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk to you.
Yes, yes.
God wants to continue to teach you. He said, all from the least, the high school dropout, the addict, the prostitute, the runaway, the ignorant one, void of knowledge, the one that's not so bright, to the theologian, to the PhD, to the one with the doctorate, to the billionaire, to the millionaire, to the Pharisee. He said, from the least to the greatest, I'll reveal myself to them. And that's the new covenant. That's why I said, don't put so much burden on yourself. If you're still in Hebrews, go to chapter 12. Again, I'm just going through the word tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. If you're still in Hebrews, go to chapter 12. I'm almost done. Let's wrap it up. Wherefore, seeing we also are surpassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It said we lay down the weight. We put down the sin, but we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the reason we're going to finish. He's the reason we're going to complete our assignment in the earth while we're here alive on earth. He's the reason why we're going to get it done. That dream, that ministry, that vision. Some of you want to minister to the sick. Some of you want to help those who are unfortunate. Some of you want to bless the least of these. And God says you're going to get it done, but you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. It will happen in due season. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart, but look into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I pray you are blessed tonight, because the words, even as that woman, she had great sin, and Jesus forgave her and gave her a fresh start and a new beginning.
Yeah.
And sometimes we in this life, we miss it, we mess up, we make mistakes, but he's simply saying, repent, move forward, and keep going. Lay aside the weight. There's so many weights in life nowadays. The weight of bills, the weight of parenting, the weight of marriage, the weight of ministry, the weight of responsibility. It can become a heavy weight. He said, lay it aside. Put that off of you. You can't have it. You can't carry that burden. And then sin. Sin becomes such a big weight on our lives. He says, put it down. Just get rid of that kind of life and lifestyle. And then look to Jesus. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We're gonna pray. We're gonna pray and close out in the name of Jesus. I pray you are blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Luke 17, I wrote it down but I didn't say it, but now I want to say it. If we increase faith, we decrease failure.
Mm.
When we increase in faith, we decrease in failure. The apostles, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, we can have faith, but we got to pray to God to give us bigger faith, greater faith. He showed me so vividly how to deal with my fears. He said, son, just come to me and ask me to remove it. I said, God, is that simple?
That's what I said.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He said, whatever it is, when you feel that little sense of that familiar spirit trying to come back and revisit you.
Yeah.
And you trying to panic, you trying to shake it, you trying to deal with it, you trying to press through it. He said, ask me to remove it.
Yeah.
And I will.
My God.
I said, God, is that simple? He said, yes. I chuckled. He chuckled at me. And that's the kind of relationship I have with God. I don't know about your relationship with God, but I had a kind of relationship with God where he just talked to me one-on-one like a friend. And he told me that particular part of my life is that simple to resolve. And I've been practicing that, and it's been working. He's been doing it. And he's been removing it. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Amen.
So if you have a fear that try to grip you even as I go off the air tonight, ask God to remove it and replace it with faith. Faith and fear can't occupy the same space. So ask God to remove it and replace it with faith. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the people in attendance. Even as we went through the scriptures, Hebrews and Luke and James and Corinthians and so many others, I thank you, Lord, that we're learning the Bible, that we're studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, don't let the word come back void, what you sowed into our lives tonight. May it produce a harvest in due season. And I thank you that your word will not come back void. You're changing our personalities. You're changing our circumstances. You're changing our conditions. And we praise you and thank you in advance for it. So thank you for the word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a powerful lesson on tonight. We definitely have gotten more insight into the scriptures. And Pastor, we thank you for delving into the word and helping us to see Jesus and the power of forgiveness. You know, God is speaking tonight. Don't leave this, like the pastor said, don't leave this Bible study without getting the substance of the lesson. Jesus has already forgiven you. He said, I'll put your sins, God says, into the sea of forgetfulness, and your sins will I remember no more. That was in the scripture, one of the verses that we didn't read. Pastor was there with the next verse. He says, I will remember your sins no more. Amen. So we have to know that God has forgiven you of past sins, and don't hold yourself hostage to things that you've done wrong. Go forward knowing that you've already been forgiven. And go forward knowing that God will forgive you of the future sins as well. God is good, amen, and worthy to be praised. So we thank God for forgiveness. And then forgive somebody. Forgive somebody tonight. Don't hold that ought in your heart. That thing has so much power. We need to ask God for more faith to forgive the people that have hurt us. My God, they keep hurting you. But God says, ask for more faith and I'll give it to you. Forgiveness is supernatural. Amen. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make. And if we make the choice to forgive, then God will give us that supernatural ability to forgive that person. Amen. And to release that thing. Amen. So we thank God for the power of forgiveness. Going to someone, asking for forgiveness if we must, and then making sure that we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Amen. Powerful lesson. So we're going to go down from this place. We thank God for new creation, each and every one of you who have pressed your way to the Bible study, and for our guests and for those who are affiliated with us, even through the prayer line, who are coming to the Bible study. We thank God for all of new creation, the local assembly and the prayer line, who have pressed their way to Bible study. So God bless you, and even every visitor who's listening through the archives, God bless you. Come and see us this Sunday. There's always a powerful word in the sanctuary prophetically preached. There's a prophetically preached word that's going to hit your life on this Sunday. So come out on Sunday at 12:30.
Last communion of the year.
This is our first Sunday, the last communion of the year, Pastor said. Come and partake of communion, break bread with us. Amen. Our address is 1482 Maple Avenue, and we are in Hillside, New Jersey. 12:30 prompt is our service time. We start on time so that we don't have to stay all day. We try to get out before 3. Amen. So God bless you. We love you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. We're not going to play a song tonight. We're just going to leave the sanctuary. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. Amen.
Love you.
Good night. Love you. God bless you.